The following are actual responses from comment cards given to staff at staff members at Bridger Wilderness Area in 1996. These are from comment cards. Trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. Too many bugs and leeches and spiders and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to rid the areas of these pests. Please pave the trails. Chairlifts need to be put in place so that we can get to wonderful views without having to hike them. The coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate these annoying animals. Small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there a way I can get reimbursed? Escalators would help on steep uphill sections. A McDonald's would be nice at the trailhead. Too many rocks in the mountains. These comments and complaints indicate that people who made them may not have completely understood what it means to stay in a wilderness area. They were looking for something convenient and comfortable. Now, there's a new term called glamping. It's glamour camping. It's for folks that want the camping experience without all the outside stuff. In a similar way, some of us today don't understand what it means to be a Christian, a true disciple of Christ, to have that fire that burns so deep within us that it propels us past our normal comfort zones. As Christians, we may go to church, we might have a profession of faith and read our Bibles and pray and even put some money in the offering plate, but are we the real deal, or at least living and thinking like the real deal? Jesus makes very, very clear what it means to be a Christian, and some of it may honestly be kind of hard to face. Let's talk about disciples versus Christians. The term disciple occurs 269 times in the Bible, in the book of the New Testament, while the term Christian only appears 3 times. In the book of Acts, we're told that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So it clarifies that these two terms are interchangeable, and it punctuates the seriousness of what Christ was saying. For instance, Jesus' words in verse 27, "Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Anyone who does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be a Christian. Now, the second time I said that kind of gets your attention, doesn't it? If you don't follow Christ and carry your cross, you cannot be a Christian. As the scripture continues, the first thing to notice is that Jesus is speaking specifically to the large crowds. So we have to go into the scripture and figure out the setting and the audience and all of these things to really understand what the scripture means. So he's speaking to the large crowds who were following him. There were groupies. There were Jesus groupies. Now, Jesus was not talking to those who were uninterested in his message. He was talking to those who were interested, those people who were traveling with Jesus. And according to what Jesus tells them, apparently they mistook their positive attitude and interest for Jesus for true discipleship. as many of us do today. The people he spoke to were willing and even anxious to follow Jesus, providing the cost wasn't too high or the demands were too great. They were like many of us today who look at Jesus to solve our money problems or relationship problems or health problems, and then we quickly become disillusioned when following Jesus, when he doesn't resolve our problems, or it requires making some tough life choices. Jesus wasn't interested in the numbers. Large crowds did not impress him. What he was interested in was commitment. Jesus is asking, where's the passion? Jesus wants to start something in us. He wants to move us. The scripture's hard to hear. And kind of even harder to put sense to. Anyone who comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even their own life cannot be my disciple. So how does that work with love one another? It seems like Jesus is contradicting himself, doesn't it? Now we have to go back and we have to think about the language that this was spoken in and the text where he was preaching and the different kinds of things that were going on. So the word hate is not meant to be taken literally, but rather to be used figuratively as an expression point. In Jewish culture, the word hate actually was used to express a lesser love. So I could hate a pair of shoes, which means I really like that pair of shoes, but I don't like them as much as my favorite shoes. So we have kind of a different connotation around that word, and that's just how it interprets into the way we talk. So Jesus is actually saying that we must love him much more than we love our closest family relationships or even our own lives. We must love him more than our hobbies or our goals in life, more than our careers and our self-interests. We must have a burning passion for Christ that surpasses everything else. My daughter taught me an expression that the young people are saying today. Why am I saying young people? I'm not that old. Bae. You may hear she's my bae or he's my bae. B-A-E means before all else. So we want Jesus to be our bae. That's a t-shirt, isn't it? Jesus is my bae. Jesus is not speaking of emotional feelings toward him. And he's not talking about emotional feelings toward our families, but rather he's speaking about a level of commitment. If following Jesus means forfeiting all these other things, are we willing to do that? In other words, Jesus has to be first in our priorities and our loyalties. For instance, if following Jesus obediently results in problems or interferes in your closest relationships, will you still follow him? It's a realistic question, really. In some countries right now, following Jesus can sometimes mean being kicked out of the family. It can mean losing your children or being imprisoned or worse. I want to introduce you to Peter Jacek. This is Peter. According to a Voice of the Martyrs update, Peter has been released from prison in Sudan following a pardon issued by Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir. He was arrested by the Islamic Sudanese regime after visiting some Sudanese Christians and providing a small gift to help with a man's medical treatment. He was convicted of multiple crimes, including espionage and entering Sudan illegally. He was sentenced to life in prison for these crimes. He was imprisoned with two other pastors who were spreading Christianity. They still remain in prison. If it came down to it, could you stand firm and declare your love for and belief in Jesus Christ? We must not only love or be committed to Jesus more than to our loved ones, but we must also be committed to him before even our own lives. As Peter said, only you hold the keys to heaven and hell. Where else would we go? There's a commercial that's run on TV recently that has a man sitting in a chair at a tattoo parlor expressing his love to Donna by getting her name tattooed on his arm. And about halfway through the procedure, he asks how much it'll cost. And the artist says, $50. And he pulls out his cash and he says, well, I only have 41. So he gets I Love Don tattooed on his arm. How much are we willing to commit? The commercial shows the foolishness of considering the cost of something halfway through. Jesus wants us to ask ourselves, am I in this for the long haul? If it got deep, could I sustain? Or am I merely here addressing God with pleasantries? What's your burning passion? What's the fire within you that people see and they want to be a part of? Today, Jason and Naomi are going to come forward and they're going to commit themselves. And we've had a lot of discussion about what that means. We've talked a lot about committing to Christ and the church. And it means going into that wilderness area, and sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. But it means commitment, and they've chosen to take that on. We have to ask ourselves, am I able to follow Jesus? And am I willing to follow Jesus completely? It may mean roughing it. It may mean that we leave behind some of our creature comforts. And how far into the wilderness are we willing to go with Christ? When we leave the campsite and Christ holds his hand out and says, follow me, and we know there's bugs and there's spiders and there's gnats and it's hot and we're going to get scratched up. Are we still going to follow Jesus, or are we more comfortable hanging out where we know we're going to be safe? So today, Jason and Naomi are formally offering themselves in service through Christ's church. And you, those of you who are members, will be renewing your vows along with them. And I would ask you today that you pray deeply about what that means. I would ask you to seriously consider this wilderness experience. Amen.